So as a parent, and so say for your, so your son cheated on a test and lied to you and thought and forged your name, stuff like that. He's confessed. He's asked for forgiveness. You've forgiven him. But there could be, I mean, in the sinfulness of us, it's like, oh, he might be going down that track again. You know, he might something. So how do you deal with something like that as a parent, thinking about, okay, I do forgive you, right? I don't want you to put on burden that you shouldn't have. But at the same time, how do we progress next time if this does come up again? Or how do we go about in that situation relationally, you think?
Yeah, well, one thing to remember is that it's not first and foremost about you as the dad. And again, we want to be the hero of the story. So our son cheats. That's embarrassing. That's something that brings us shame as well. And so because of that, we have to be very careful that this doesn't become primarily about you made me look bad and I want to make you feel bad until you recognize that you don't do this to your dad. This you're a Mac, you know, Macs don't cheat or whatever. So no, this isn't, Lord, please help me. That's one of my prayers, not to take this situation that it's sad. My son, this reveals something about his relationship with you. So it is sad, but not, and he needs to grow. He's just revealed something about his view of the world. I got to figure out what is tempting him to cheat in this situation. Is it he wants to earn my favor, or is it that he hasn't studied, he's been lazy? There's lots of different routes to cheating. But the point is, I don't want to go into that situation, make it all about me, and therefore miss the moment, which is about how do I help my son, first and foremost, in his relationship with God. And so ultimately, part of that is going to be helping him think about what does this reveal about your relationship with God? What does this, how is he understanding what has happened here? And then, of course, it's going to go from there. If he's feeling grief and he recognizes this as sin against, it's clear he understands what has happened, then there's going to be a certain gospel, that kind of proclamation that needs to happen. If he is clearly doesn't see, can't even explain what is wrong with this, it just, okay, I got another approach I have to take as a dad. He's going to have to, I'm going to need to pray and also think about how do I help him see why sin is so serious. Now, if he's asked for forgiveness and I'm just worried, is he going to do it again? I would say, okay, one, yeah, I've just learned something about my son is that he has a, or daughter, in this situation, they face a temptation. So now how do I prepare them for the next temptation? And I don't think that me using shame, because there's lots of bad tools you can use to accomplish a good end, because they work. So shame, manipulation, fear, if I can just make him afraid enough of me, then he won't do it again. Yeah, you know, it's not that hard to figure out how kids work. You can use a lot of those bad tools to get what you want on the surface. But I don't want to simply get what I want on the surface. I want to get to his heart, and so I want to use good tools to get to the heart. And so I would need to think about, okay, he's asked for forgiveness. He faces this. He's going to face this again in the future. Okay, what is how can I prepare my son for this next moment? What are the truths that he needs to believe to be ready for that moment? What are the, you know, the self-awareness that I need to help him have as he's going into that to know about himself that, okay, this is I've just learned something about myself in these pressure situations. What lies am I going to be tempted to believe? I would want to unpack that. What were you believing at that moment that you cheated, that you thought this would work? Okay, so why is that a lie? And then what is the truth that you need to replace that? And so in that sense, I can prepare him for that next moment. I recognize also as well, he's a sinner like I am, that he may do this again. And then how am I going to respond then? And even what is that going to reveal about him in that moment? And how am I going to make knowledge acceptable to him? So parenting is work. It's shepherding. If you really, this, you know, you can get short-term solutions. It's easier to get short-term solutions with bad tools. And so a lot of times we'll compromise for that, to get the short-term solution because we're lazy. The long-term solution, it may not look as great in the middle. And it might be a slower process, but the end game is that they're transformed from the heart out. And if all you're content with is just sort of fixing the externals through these bad solutions, then it's just a matter of time. You might get to, like, they're 18 and they look great, but they're going to get 25, 26, 30. They're not going to be afraid of you anymore in the same way, and they're just going to hide it from you and do their own thing, or they're just going to say, forget dad, forget mom. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And that it worked for the first 18 years maybe a little, but it didn't really work long term.
So since we've kind of transitioned to talking about parenting, Joshua, how do you so those conversations with your kids are great to be cultivating about their heart. I've talked to parents with young kids who are kind of like trying to process through how do you, they're kind of too young to be processing a lot about their hearts yet. Maybe that the parents are having to tell them. But I felt like some of the parents maybe have expressed concern about how high do you hold them to obedience? What kind of things do you give them consequences for when their hearts aren't able to obey yet?
Okay.
Right? Does that kind of make sense? Kind of as, so it's, so like, I guess, do you parent like that at every age? Are there things that you emphasize at younger ages?
Yeah, there are a lot of good questions in there. One, parenting is a long game. So when I'm parenting a two-year-old, I'm not just parenting them for when they're two. I'm parenting them for when they're 18. So I want to teach calculus. But I don't teach – I know to get to teach calculus, it's not going to just show up that they're 18 and I can teach calculus. I've got to have done a lot of preparatory work to get to the point where my son is going to understand calculus spiritually. And so I view those early years as opportunities to put foundational truths in place – that are going to enable me to have better conversations with them as they grow older. And so, you know, some of this people make, I think, way too complicated. It's a little confusing, but like why they make it so complicated. But like when they're young, one of the things that we definitely want to do is very clearly teach them that their job is to obey and that sin has consequences. And so those are two of, when they're really young, those are two just basic goals, that their job is to obey and sin has consequences. And so that requires a high level of consistency. And so part of what we're trying to do in those early years is a lot of law, to be honest. It's like establishing a rhythm, a pattern, that when daddy or mommy speaks, your job is to listen and to do what they say. Now you get that in place, then later you're going to have better conversation. Another big job, honestly, your child comes out of the womb thinking they're God. So your first few years is you want to help them realize they're not God. Now if you're spending the first 6 years teaching them that they are God, then don't be surprised that's not going to work when you sit down to have conversations about more important matters, because they're coming at it from, I am the center of the world.
Right.
And so that's you've trained them in that for 13 years.
Yeah.
So why do you think you're going to be able to talk about things well when that's how they view the world?
Mm.